You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Thank you. We've just been sitting here riffing for like an hour, and all the good jokes are pretty much out of me now. So what we're left with is remembering to hit record. On this exciting episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show, I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-hosts, 365 Days of Horror, and Brynasaurd. How you doing, fellas?
Doing so damn well. I like how it's, I got my co-host, 365 Days of Horror, and then there's Brynasaurd.
Wait, that's not just and Brynasaurd, it's and Brynasaurd.
Right.
I mean, I'm giving you more heft than me or Jordan, you know?
I'll tell you, buddy, after the holidays, I don't need any more fucking heft.
Hey!
We're back with the jokes. We're rolling with it.
This is the last episode of the year. This is your last treatment of Toilet Radio. And I gotta say, when we ended the year last year, Jordan, you and I said that we would, really put some work into this show, and we fucking did. We have, I think, put together a year of extremely good-ass podcasting. Because, we've had really big guests on the show. We've done experimental radio, our Choose Your Own Adventure shows, or our commercial shows, or Picking Fights with Death Metal Underground. We added Breno to the regular rotation. Overall, this has been some extremely good-ass podcasting. So I figure that we have earned ourselves this little victory lap on this episode to relax a little bit, review some of our accomplishments, make a couple of jokes, and listen to some tracks that we really liked from this year. Does that sound all right with everyone?
Yeah, I think that sounds good. We could complain about the year too. People like it when we complain.
I mean,
I think, right?
That's like, I lack the serotonin in my brain to appreciate good things. I only know how to yell about bad things, so that's kind of natural. But I'm gonna stretch myself in the spirit of, this year of good ass podcasting, and try to maybe appreciate some nicer things. That first track that we played, that was a band that I found this year that I really, really dug. Malokarpaten. Some dudes from Slovakia who, man, that shit's wild. That's first wave black metal and new wave of British heavy metal combined.
Yeah.
And it's all about Slovakian folklore. That track is called whatever the Slovak translation of "In the provincial pond, a water goblin has been raging for centuries." And if you don't think that kicks ass, you can just fucking close this media player right now, man.
People already have, but yeah, it kicks ass. No, so how the living fucking hell did you find this band? How? I want to know. Do you remember? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, man. Somebody wrote a review on toiletofhell.com.
Oh, sick. Great. Someone, some rando.
One day I'm going to read that website.
Yeah. No, actually, I missed it and when it ran initially because I was on vacation. I believe I was at a wedding in San Francisco when this one ran. I believe it was a Brandon Wald wrote the review on this one, so I missed it entirely until somebody posted about it in the it was actually fucking Grim Kim. She posted it on Twitter, and I listened, and I was like, oh my god, this rules. So I am a poser for missing it when it initially ran on my own goddamn website, and it's a shame because it is such a great record. So if that's a new one for you, go check out the rest of it, because it's such a rad album.
Yeah, we will have links, I'm sure, for you. For those who it's tough to spell or pronounce, we'll have links. We'll hook you up.
Yeah, and if you speak Slovakian or whatever language they speak in Slovakia, feel free to correct me in the comments. I won't read them, but you can go ahead and issue that correction.
Yeah, do so anyway.
You guys have any resolutions for this new year?
Personally, And I know this is as a big person, this is what you do every beginning of the year. You just go ham, literally and figuratively. a Christmas dinner and you fucking eat too much trash for so many weeks in a row because there's so many Christmas parties. When you're an adult, it's a gauntlet of just food for so long. So you get to the other side and you're just like, that's it. I'm going to give myself cancer. I got to stop. I got to do better this year. And you start the process. So I'm starting that process again. I'm trying to go vegan for like the first time in my life, just to see how it goes, you know, just to say I did it.
That's a pretty stark change. Are you a regular meat eater now?
I have been for a very long time, uh-huh. but it never, like, I hate myself, so I don't care if I'm sick after. I'll just eat whatever, even if it's like I have a food sensitivity to it. I'm just like, who cares? You deserve it, you fat fucking pile. So I just don't. You know, I'll just eat whatever, whenever. So now it's like I'm really trying to focus on what I'm sensitive to, what makes me feel yucky. And honestly, man, it's like if I eat red meat, I never feel good. If I eat a hot dog, I'll be sick for days. You know, it's never felt good. So I'm just trying to turn shit around and treat myself like I'm a human being for once.
Why not go vegetarian first and then see if you want to go vegan?
Yeah, that's kind of what.
That's kind of what I'm more planning on. If you're vegetarian, it's not that different. Maybe there's a little bits of dairy or something, but it's like I'm sensitive to dairy. So,
okay. Yeah.
Right. So it's like you might as well just go for broke and just be a huge full on snob for it.
Yeah. I went vegetarian a little while back just for a month or so just to see if I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I really did like feel better for a while. And like the first time I had meat again, I got sick.
Hmm. Yeah.
So there is something to it.
There is. You're just, you live your life sick and you don't even know it. So there's that. What about you, Jordan? What do you got going on for yourself?
I've been pretty good about exercising throughout the year, so I don't have to worry about that. It's more of I have to, you know, control myself, I guess, when it comes to diet and not like go, oh, I'm miserable, I could have pizza. Oh, I feel good, I could have pizza. Stuff like that. But something that I need to work on, and we've talked about this on the show, is actually taking a break every now and then.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that at all.
Yeah, definitely. You got to treat yourself, play a little video games, you know, get away for a little bit.
How about you, Joe? Are you going to be a better person this year, finally?
Yeah, I'm going to drink less because I drink way too much, but I'm also going to do way more drugs.
All right.
I think I've been drinking a lot for a long time. I need to cut it back a little bit. But there's a world of drugs out there that to experiment with that I've really never given a chance. So I kind of want to kind of see what I can do there, you know?
Yeah, ladies, hide your coffee tables.
Murder Brian is a bad influence.
That's right.
I've been taking the kratom that I get from them every month in the mail, and it's just like such a great drug. So, you know, I figure there's new things to explore.
Right. So that's why when we have our conversations and I throw out some ideas and you're like, yeah, that's great. And then we never do it. That's because you're on something.
Yeah, right. That's alcohol, which just gives me the power to just stop giving a fuck about anything, which is not something that I really need to indulge in anymore.
Especially when you're on Twitter.
Yeah. Every bad tweet you've ever seen me make, which is, I guess, all of them, is because of alcohol. I've also picked up guitar again, like trying to play.
Sweet.
I guess you would call it like primitive folk or primitive Americana finger picking. And I kind of want to try to put out a little demo or EP of just solo finger picking acoustic stuff because that's I like listening to that stuff, and I don't think I'll ever be able to, you know, get together with dudes and practice enough to have a metal band anytime soon. So that's kind of where I'm at.
You're a shaved head and a few questionable political thoughts away from starting a neo-folk band.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, dude.
It's called Sunwheel. It's an ancient symbol used by tons of civilizations. Yeah, man. That's a good idea. We'll get that guy from Death in June on the podcast, and we'll just let him, like, talk complete gibberish for an hour. That'll be fun.
Always.
Any other big plans, big ideas?
I just saw Star Wars.
How was the Star War?
I stayed awake for almost all of it.
Ooh, well done. How long is
I've
that?
I've heard movie? Otherwise.
It was like 2 hours and 40 minutes, give or take. It was long as fuck. And it doesn't help that I'm currently sick and I've been up since about 4 o'clock in the morning. So I was in and out for a little while.
Yeah, man, you're not sounding too hot. I have not seen it. I've somehow managed to like not get it spoiled for myself. It's inevitable. It's been that time. It's just around the sort of time where people talk about it freely enough that it'll get spoiled for me. But I think the lack of interest over this one is just it's a lot more apparent than on the other one. People were way more psyched about that one. Not so much for this one.
Well, it's the third movie in a row of like the past consecutive years. So I think there's going to be some malaise or just like, okay, here's another one.
Well, that's the Disney plan, right? They're going to put out one a year every year, right?
I think so. Yeah.
That's the Disney. That's the Disney format for everything. Marvel movies, everything.
They're going to eat it and like it.
Yeah.
That's dope that Disney owns everything now. Seriously, I can't wait for them to buy Toilet of Hell, trying to get on that Disney money. That's like the fucking thing, man. Like, a movie every year, they're all 3 hours long for some fucking reason. I have zero interest in, like, the superhero movies or the Star Wars movies or any of that shit, man.
Yeah, why are these, like, really big action-packed popcorn munchers like that everybody's gonna go see? Why are they making them so fucking long these days?
I don't know.
It's like 90 minutes was the golden mark for my entire childhood, most of my adulthood, and now all of a sudden there's just some script got flipped and people just want longer freaking movies.
I mean, this is
gotta cram in all the commercials,
I guess, right? This is industrial grade slop. You're gonna fucking eat it anyway. You might as well put as little effort into it as possible.
It's like concerts now. They have 5, 6, 7 bands on a set, and you know, the doors open at 5, and you're there until 2 in the morning. Same thing.
Weak, man. I'll tell you what, let's change course a little bit. We'll play another track, because we're playing stuff that we really liked this year. We started with one of my selections. Who's up next? Who wants to play their shit?
I'm gonna give it to Jordan. We got a couple interesting tracks from Jordan this year. One pick I didn't know you liked. I didn't know you liked the Miss Lady Black Metal, as Neil Jameson lovingly refers to her.
For those that don't know, Brendan's referring to Merc here, and I picked their song Manablot. I'm gonna guess that's kind of how you say it, maybe sort of.
Probably.
Yeah, I just heard the song earlier this year and hadn't really listened to her before. And I just really like her vocalizations in it. I think the song really showcases her talent as a vocalist. Her voice is very pretty in it. The song starts off really hard and then kind of goes into just this melodic, pretty voice. And, you know, it really just stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, here we go. We're going to listen to Merkin with Man of Blood.
Thank you.
right, there you go. That's it's a little the murker getting murked. Getting murked with murker.
I like to say murky and lurky. I don't know if you remember the Rainbow Bright cartoon from the 80s, but those were the bad guys. And that's all I think about when I see her name.
That rules. Now, it was a little before my time, but my my sisters were big fans. They had the Rainbow Bright vinyl on their Fisher-Price record player. You know, I bet if you sample that, add in some blast beats, you know, slow it down a little bit, you got something truly evil. Listen for it on Nuclear War Now, coming out next year.
Zach, I bet if you tried to play the new Mirker on the Fisher-Price vinyl player, it would sound like super cult.
People might not send through death threats if they hear that.
Right.
So, I don't know. Is it Amelie Braun? That's her name, right?
Yeah.
She's had an interesting year or so. People were really into her, and then they decided she was false and then sent her death threats, and then she was accused of saying accused of anti-Muslim rhetoric or something. Where are we with all of this? I can't keep it straight.
Well, we were kind of talking about it before Jordan joined on, but I've looked back a lot at the things she said, and I just like it's kind of a stretch to get real anti-Islamic rhetoric out of it. She's just kind of explaining how she felt about religion and how religion treats women. She mentioned both Christianity and Islam several times, and everything she said, she would preface by saying that, you know, Islam is a culture with worth, there are good people in it, yada, yada, yada. I know that's probably, I know that's not always a good thing. People want to say, like, one of my friends is black, but, and then say the worst thing they've ever said ever, but. I mean, for the most part, I was reading it over, and I think a lot of it got blown out of proportion. A lot of it got kind of like soundbited or edited in a way to kind of blow it out of proportion.
I haven't read her statements in quite a long time, so I'm not really sure, but I tend to agree with your opinion. So sure.
Yeah, I would say they were inartful comments, to steal an old communications PR term. I don't think it was as bad as some people were saying. And really, in the context of black metal, it is far and away not as bad as a lot of things said and done in the genre.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Is we've seen worse.
probably seen worse this week.
Right. Yesterday.
Holy, I almost forgot, like, entirely, because this has been such a heinously long year that we had Robbie J. Fonts of Stuck Mojo on this podcast earlier.
Oh, shit, I remember that. It feels like it was 10 years ago.
Seriously, I've aged 40 years since then. That podcast is inscribed on a cuneiform. And I just, if you go back and listen to that one, that's an hour of him saying the dumbest, most ignorant fucking shit you've ever heard in your life, and poor Jordan and I desperately trying to, like, refute everything before he can get another dumbass thing out of his mouth.
Right. I'm really glad that I bowed out of that. If I was involved and it was the three of us, the guy would have signed off, like, right away. I would have just never shut up. I would have been a lot meaner than you guys were. I would have just laid into him. But you guys, you know, you were actually really, I remember just being proud of both of you.
I desperately wanted a cigarette, like, the entire way through.
Yeah.
It definitely gave me heart problems.
Yeah, you aged 40 years in that moment, not just since then.
Yeah, just holding my tongue and just, ugh.
There was a really great picture that Jordan posted of him face-palming during the interview.
And people were really excited when they figured out why.
Well, maybe in 2018 we can get more problematic idiots on the show.
Yeah.
As always, there is an open invitation. Phil Labonte, if you want to be destroyed by my logic on this program, you're welcome to come on.
Bring your logical fallacy flashcards, boys. It's going to be a long one.
That's an ad hominem.
False equivalency. Mm. By the way, all Muslims are evil.
I see you've been listening to the Ben Shapiro Hour.
Oh.
All right, let's play another
track. The reason that Band-Aids are for white people is because most white people buy Band-Aids. It's obvious.
Holy shit. all right, Breno, it's your turn. What track you want to play?
Oh, shit, is it? Oh, let's see. I'm kind of a plebe compared to these guys. I'm not as obscure and cult and cool. I mean, I am, but the shit that I listen to is like 15 minutes long a track, as I was told not to do, so I don't have some of those. But I have some regular cool rock guy shit. This next track it's going to be pretty basic, but I really, really liked the Mastodon album from this year. A lot of people didn't. There was a lot of back and forth on Twitter when it came out about people not liking it. And I could see how some of the tracks certainly turned people off, because that's what they do every year, is they release some things that are just so wildly different. But the first track, that premiere track, was so goddamn good that it just stuck with me all year, and it's been on my playlist ever since. So this is going to be Sultan's Curse by Mastodon.
Mastodon.
Yeah.
That was Sultan's Curse by Mastodon. That pick courtesy of Breno, who is a giant fucking normie. Way to go, Breno.
I'm just that. Like, it might as well have been Coheed and Cambria. I know, like, nobody.
Actually, they put out a record last year, I think, that was, I liked it. I like Coheed and Cambria.
Well, there we go. Now I'm not the only normie. Everything's fine. I had a guy who tried to start a conversation about Coheed and Cambria with me because he thought he did before. And I was just like, yeah, sure, I probably said something fine. So I was in like a 20-minute conversation about how he went to a bar and there was a guy that looked and sounded and sang just like Claudio. And I was like, it probably was him. He was like, no. So anyway, I like that track a lot. And I really wish that the album had a lot more of that to offer. I think that all the different band members that usually vocalize through tracks, they all got a chance on that album, on that song, and they all just they fucking peaked at the very first song of that album. Not a good choice compositionally, but it's a great track. It just is. I don't care what anybody says.
Jordan, do you have a hot take about Mastodon?
You know, I really loved Remission and Leviathan. Like, those are great metal albums. And I kind of started to lose interest on Blood Mountain. And just after that, just really hasn't done anything for me. And it's kind of sad because I really liked them. And I saw them live a few times while they were still in that era. So now it's just kind of like, oh, they're never going back. Kind of like In Flames.
Not at all. Not at all. I wouldn't call them In Flames because after Mastodon did the heel turn, as we like to say, they made good music, but...
Sure.
In Flames is unlistenable. Yeah. Just
completely. Sure. When the In Flames comparison was more of a, they've made a change and they're not going back, more so.
I got
quality of music.
I gotcha. But I don't know. It's weird because I think Mastodon sort of progress with me musically along with my taste. When I first got into them, like you were saying with Remission and Leviathan, that's what I was really into. I was really into that kind of ridiculous, sludgy, just dirty, fucking awesome metal. And I still am, of course. And there's always going to be that part of me. But I just, I started playing guitar. I started listening to like more traditional rock stuff, more classic metal, more, I don't want to say softer, but stuff that was a little more like a little easier on the palate, a little more like compromised as far as like a pop song could be. I meant composed, not compromised, but like composed more like a pop song with verses and hooks and all that good shit. So I don't know. They kind of went that way with me. And then I'm still with them. I'm still rocking it.
Still with her. Still with Mastodon. Yeah.
Except Hunter. The Hunter was a fucking terrible album.
I've never like really been a big fan of Mastodon. I kind of liked Once More Around the Sun, but that's about it. That's my big hot take. Out of all the Georgia sludge bands that came of prominence in like the early and mid 2000s, Baroness was the one that I liked the best.
Yeah, Baroness is fucking stellar. Like they've kind of done the same thing, but they've taken it to a bit more of a, I don't know, a more sophisticated area, especially with like the Purple album a couple of years ago. Great shit.
What was your favorite podcasting moment of 2K17, Jordan?
I mean, we got to interview some really great people. Like, I mean, I love going back and listening to our interview we did with Nathan Gray from Boy Sets Fire, just because he was so into that interview. Like, he was so happy to, like, answer our questions and laugh along with us and, like, talk about how shitty the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie was. So that was pretty great.
I was a little hesitant on that one just because I wasn't super familiar with his work, but talking to him was just... That's a guy who's just a joy to talk with.
Absolutely. Another interview I really liked was the one we did with John Arch of Fate's Warning. And for some people that don't know, neither one of us really know much about Fate's Warning or John Arch. But we did a little research beforehand, and we were able to get a really good interview out of him. So I like to look back to that and say, yeah, we can talk to just about anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I got to talk to some of my dudes from some of my very favorite bands this year. We had Riley from Power Trip. We had Tony from Municipal Waste.
by far my absolute favorite moment was when we dragged Metal Text onto the show and kept him here captive for like 3 or 4 hours and just talked so much mountains of shit on Death Metal Underground for that very first show and just started the feud to last a lifetime.
I agree with you. I tell you what, we're going to play another track and then we're going to dive a little bit deeper in to that entire shitty mess pile. How about that?
Sounds excellent.
I guess it's whose turn is it? Who's gonna play?
I think it's your turn.
I think you're up, Bucko.
Okay, this is a band from Brooklyn called Floods, and they put out an EP earlier this year called Floods. It's only 4 tracks long, and I wish it was way longer. I'm really looking forward to a full length from these guys because this track that we're gonna listen to here, Coercive, it's if I were to describe it in a way that would probably make everybody mad, it's a black metal meets groove metal. yeah, here it is, Coercive. We'll be right back. Hey, that was Coercive by Floods. That is a Name Your Own Price album on Bandcamp. If and you like that, you should go pick it up, because I'm predicting that these dudes are going to do really, really cool things in the future. Did you like it? Was it okay?
Or not. And they're, you know, but we got a cool EP out of them. Hey, you were right, though. Black metal, sludge metal put together. It was good. It was good. I thought it was all right.
See, I was expecting, since you're Joe Hardcore, for them to be a hardcore band. I think seeing the name Floods made me think of Hoods or Since the Flood or something like that. So it wasn't quite what I was expecting, but it was good.
Well, what I did was I posted on Twitter. I'm like, hey, send me your favorite track of the year. And I got all kinds of just garbage, just unlistenable bullshit.
Shocking.
But one kid sent me this, and like, he's right. Like, that's a really, really great track. So thank you, JT, for sending that over. I really dig it mightily. All right, then. So I'd say that if there's one thing we did this year, it was relentlessly fuck with Death Metal Underground. Because we devoted two episodes to it, and then a third that was a fake out so we could do something fun. And then we probably mentioned it four or five times otherwise, because it's really good. But to recap, we had our buddy Metal Text on to read some of the dumbass writings of Brett Stevens, or whatever his real name is, talking about basically failing to compete sexually with his peers when they were 12 or so.
Right.
In eating barbecued potato chips.
It was ranch dressing flavored potato chips.
Sorry about that.
And Coronas.
Right. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't listened to those episodes, go listen to those, because they just get silly. But our fun, mostly good-natured poking, like, destroyed Death Metal Underground.
It was such a one-sided fight.
It started when we were making fun of their former editor, Daniel Morat, who, number one, sucks at writing, and number two, is from some other shitty country, and I believe that he had to step down as editor of Death Metal Underground, and then I believe he got deported, which I don't think you can get owned any harder than that. That's maximum ownage.
Especially as a conservative, like, to get fucking deported out of the country that...
Yeah. America God. First. Oh, wait. No!
To a nicer guy, it couldn't have happened.
He had to step down as editor because he got deported. Because the country that his ass was getting sent back to doesn't let him use the internet in the same way.
I do not support ICE by any stretch of the imagination, but I totally dropped a dime on that guy.
Yeah, no! We know you're in there! Stop writing this bullshit.
Yeah, they were they posted up waiting for him outside of Hot Topic to take him off to whatever Slavic shithole he's from. But
did he get to bring his orange Julius?
I hope so. If they made him drop the anti-ans, that's unforgivable. That's inhumane. And after that, Brett Stevens had to issue a post on the site titled "On the Direction of This Site," in which he totally admits that he's out of juice, has no creativity left, has no steam, and nobody can write for his dipshit site. So, it rules. They completely lost their traffic steam, I guess, from r/TheDonald on Reddit or whatever the fuck it is, and Grave Train's over for the metal racists. Sucks.
Yeah, it's a big bummer. It's like, I had no idea he wrote that article. And the reason is because no one visits Death Metal Underground and told me. So that's what happens. That's how it goes. And it's like, as somebody who ran out of juice on a metal blog before, you know, I sympathize. But I never talked about, like, dominating people every other week from how well I was doing, what with my 10,000 views a month.
Well, when you abandoned your metal blog, did you blame literally everybody else for it? Because that's what Brett Stevens did. He blamed the SJWs and the attention deficit disorder metal kids that just want to read about bands that people care about or music that's interesting.
Fuck. Those fucking kids. No, I didn't blame anybody except Bees.
Well, that guy. Okay, fuck that guy, number one. See a stupid tweet the other day, like, these are my top five pop punk records of the year. Number one, blank. Number two, blank. Number three, blank. Number four, blank. Number five, listen to Slayer, kids. Like, pop punk isn't even popular with kids anymore. Like, that ship sailed a decade ago or more. Fuck you, bees.
Fucking bees. It's like, dude, if you listen to the music that guy regularly listens to, he has no right talking shit on pop punk. No fucking right.
S-A-W-F-T soft. That dude likes soft music. and he fucking ultimate dad move. Listen to Slayer.
Oh my god. Damn it. I mean, I didn't really blame him. It didn't help, but he really, really, really fucking kicked me while I was down, like real hard. It was a real hard kick while I was already down, and that was just kind of the fucking last straw. No, it wasn't. I like crawled and up from the depths and did something stupid and changed my name and just I ruined everything myself. It was all me. I could have just kept the name and been an asshole about it, which I probably should have done, but I just had this ridiculous idea that I would rebrand and do something better, and then just that ruined everything. It like I broke my website changing my URL. I just did it so sloppily.
You are doing something better. You're you join like Voltron, the toilet of hell.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Wow.
Just kidding. I love you, fellas. You're the best.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have anything to add to this, or can we go ahead and play another song?
Let's move on. Who's turning to Jordan? You got another one.
So this song is, I'm going to preface it with, it's not going to sound like anything else you're going to hear on this show. It is definitely weird. I fully admit that, but I think no other song this year has really caught my attention and like made me really enjoy it as much as this one. It's a weird indie noisy art punk rock band from Mexico called Descartes Acant. And I randomly found them through one of the promos that we received, one of the many, many, many promos that we receive. It was for a soundtrack for a shitty horror movie that had Dave Mustaine's voice in it as the bad guy.
Wow.
Oof. But I really like this song, and it stuck with me. And flipping channels one night a couple months ago, I stopped on Univision, of all channels, and saw this weird band with like three female vocalists, their keys, drums. They were doing a whole performance piece, and I recognized that it was this band. And I watched the whole performance, and it was super weird, and I encourage people to go on YouTube and just watch some of their live stuff because it's different, and it's super catchy and occasionally heavy, and hopefully you like it as well.
All right, here we go. This is Descartes Acant with Motion Picture Dream Boy.
Objective my fantasies.
And again, Motion Picture Dream Boy by Descartes Acant.
Descartes Acant.
Okay, so I had never heard of this band before you sent this to me. And mm-hmm. the impression that I got listening to this was like, this is like the Blood Brothers mixed with Rilo Kiley. So like, yeah. Flashbacks hardcore to like my 2002 podcast on Shuffle.
Yeah, man. It was cool. It was like sort of like an avant-garde kind of Riot Girl or something.
Yeah, it was a little bit like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs mm-hmm. and like Dresden Dolls kind of meets like, I don't know, Dillinger Escape Plan a little bit. Just with
I did some really
frantic
weird,
all over the place.
Yeah, I did some weird time signature switches and some progressive shit. It was cool. Good find.
And then it gets like super catchy and like sing along. And I'll always appreciate them for making the word masturbationalistic into like a memorable, catchy sing along line.
So, yeah. You can find more of that band on the World Wide Web or ask a parent or adult. We're almost done with this show, I think. What else should we cover on this one?
I got one more song in the barrel.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we ought to, like, pad this out a little bit, right?
What else are we going to cover? Well, we single-handedly defeated Death Metal Underground all by ourselves. We covered that.
Yeah, we talked to cool people. We talked to dumbasses. We're gonna do cool shit in the future.
Yeah. I would love to like visit you guys at some point and just do like a in room show.
I agree.
That would be sick.
We should make that happen in 2K18. It'd probably be easier for me to go up there rather than have both of you guys come down here.
Nah, fuck it. We'll go on a plane together. We'll take Southwest. We can rub knees. It'll be great.
I'm not sharing my peanuts with you.
Son of a bitch, I take everything I just said back.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank everyone so much for listening to this show this year. If this is your first episode, welcome. They're not all like this, but they are equally dumb. If this is like your 100th show, thank you for sticking out with us. Subscribe to this motherfucker on your podcast RSS feed of choice. Like us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon where you get bonus episodes of this.
Yes.
And, man, keep on keeping on. Right on.
We also fixed Patreon, too. Your boy, Uncle Bren over here, he fucking called it. I said, don't leave. Just stick it out. They'll back down.
Oh, that was fuck. Right. Our biggest accomplishment of the year.
That's right.
Was that we made Patreon change their evil ways. I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah. It's all right. We had time for one more.
We kick
just
ass.
Just one more.
We did it.
All right, everybody. This last pick, it's some more normie shit from Breno. What is it?
That's right. It is Kings of the Fucking Night World on the sickest album that I've heard in a long time. Black Dahlia Murder gets so much shit for being basic. I don't know why. They're fucking masterminds. Every album they put out is a love letter to the entire genre of death metal. They're great fucking artists. I love this album. I had to get an MP3 download of it. It wasn't mixed that well. I had some issues with how it sounded. It was really way too bright and it was kind of harsh on the ears listening to this album, but just musically it's so fucking sick. And hey, sometimes that's an artistic choice, you know, to make an album sound a little bit harsher than usual.
Yeah, it's the production is a little thin for my ears, but the solo on this track kicks major ass. And Trevor's a rad dude who had his second appearance on our show this year in 2K17. So, I mean, what more do you want?
What's the name of their new guitarist? Brandon
Sullivan?
No. That's the really good guitarist, you guys. Brandon Ellis. Brandon Ellis, very young man. I have a funny story about Brandon Ellis. I met him at a show at Arsis. I just went up to go buy a t-shirt from the band, and I just wanted to shake all their hands because they're such great artists, and I love them. And he gave me, like, the softest, lamest, worst handshake of my entire life. He put out
fish.
Yes, it was like the King of the Hill, sad, disappointed face as soon as he got my hand. I went to go, like, shake his hand and just put my hand out, and he, like, grabbed the front of my fingers softly and then just kind of flappily shook it. I've never listened to Arsus since, so.
You should have curtsied on him.
Disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting. Awful.
But man, that kid's fingers, you know, they do wonderful things on the guitar, just not with handshakes.
He was trying to protect his hand. Yeah, that's what he was doing.
He saw me come up. I'm a big boy, man. He was like, no way. I'm not doing this. I got the whole tour ahead of me.
Well, that's it for 2K17. This is Black Dahlia Murder with Kings of the Night World. I am Joe. With me has been Brenno and 365 Days of Horror. We have been the Toilet with Hell Radio Show, and we'll see you next year, everybody.
All right, see you next year, motherfuckers. Keep it metal.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.